I'm really grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be here with you all. I'll start with a meditation. We'll meditate for about 30 minutes, and then I'll give a short Dharma talk, and then open it up for questions or conversation. And then we'll hopefully end by 7:30. And just to let you know, it's okay with me if you don't feel like having your camera on. I'm not bothered. On or off is fine with me, whatever feels comfortable for you. And also, if you need to, you know, visit the bathroom or, you know, grab a little snack, just feel free to turn your camera off and go do that. Taking care of our bodies is really important. So I want to invite us now to just kind of settle in to whatever posture is comfortable, whatever feels supportive for your body in this moment, whether it's sitting cross-legged on the floor, and then I just invite you to notice your posture. Notice your neck and your shoulders and your chest. Notice your balance and how you're in the posture that you're in. The invitation is to just meet this moment. We're not seeking a goal. We're not trying to create some special experience. We just want to meet ourselves. Some of us find it helpful to connect to a sense sensation to anchor us that we can return to. Perhaps it's the feel of the clothes on your skin, or a sound that you hear, or a sight that you see. Other people find it helpful to follow their breath. But whatever sensation, it should feel safe, stable, with the ability to return to it. Our minds will think. That's what they do. That's what they're created to do. So can we allow ourselves to not follow the thoughts, just notice them? And as we get distracted, the invitation to return to whatever sensation . The art of meditation is the art of returning. Returning to ourselves in this body, in this mind, in this moment, in this place. Returning again to our senses, returning to our experience of this body in this moment, in this time, in this place. I invite you to ask yourself, what's it like to be me? Without my stories, without my ideas, without my opinions, just having this experience, what's it like to be me? Without all the noise and chatter. Resting gently in our experience. What do I find there? I thank you all for your practice. I invite you to take a moment and just feel the entirety of your body and maybe move it a little bit as we begin to. So, a few thousand years ago, the Buddha and his attendant Ananda were walking through the garden. And Ananda says, you know, I think this spiritual friendship, this admirable friendship, this is half of the holy life. And the Buddha said, oh, don't say that. This admirable companionship, this spiritual friendship, is the whole of the holy life. And I think that we often talk about this in terms of how we can be better spiritual friends to other people, or how people can be better spiritual friends to us. But I kind of want to talk about it today in terms of, how am I a spiritual friend to this one? Like most things in Buddhism, it starts here. If we want to learn about compassion, we start by learning how to be compassionate with ourselves. If we want to learn about metta, loving kindness, we start with expressing that for ourselves. And I think the same is true for this idea of spiritual friendship, of deep companionship. As a chaplain, I often am invited to come meet with people in the midst of deep suffering. And oftentimes people ask me, well, how do I do that? And my answer is that I have spent a lot of time getting to know my own deep suffering. I've learned how to be with my suffering, how to be with my grief, my loss, my disappointments, my regrets. I think we often think about our practice and we think about that it should be helping us feel better. It should be helping us heal or be comfortable. And I don't know that that's actually what practice is. When I was early in my practice, I went to see Pema Chodron, and somebody stood up in front of there was the Q&A, and somebody was asking her a question and was sort of going on and on and on. And she interrupted this person and said, "I don't know who told you that Buddhism was safe, but it's not." And if you're not just slightly uncomfortable, your practice may be stale. And I thought that was such an interesting response. There's a book by Norman Fisher, former abbot at San Francisco Zen Center, runs a group called Everyday Zen. And this is one of his early books, and it's called Taking Our Places. And it's actually one of the first Buddhist books I ever read when I first started this practice. But he talks a bit about this emotional maturity and being our own spiritual friend. And what he says is, perhaps the most common pernicious form of non-listening is our non-listening to ourselves. So much of what we actually feel and think is unacceptable to us. We've been conditioned over a lifetime to simply not hear all of our own self-pity, anger, desire, jealousy, wonder. Most of what we take to be our adult response is no more than our unconscious decision not to listen to what goes on inside us. And as with any human relationship, not listening to ourselves damages our self-respect. It occludes the free flow of love from ourselves to ourselves. To allow ourselves to feel what we actually do feel, not to be afraid or dismayed, but to open up a space inside our hearts large enough to safely contain what we feel, with the faith that whatever comes up is workable and even necessary. This is what any healthy, mature human being needs to do, and what we so often fail to do. And I think about that quite a bit. I think about the conditioning that I received as a cisgendered man in a patriarchal capitalistic society, as a white guy in a racist society. But I also think about it in terms of what are the parts of me that scare me? What are the parts of me that I don't like, that don't meet up with my own opinions that I want to be, that I want to have about myself? You know, they shave our head and they tell us that, you know, now we're priests or monks, and then we develop an idea about what that means. We come out of the closet as queer and we have an idea about what that means. And so I think that beginning to look beyond our stories and underneath our ideas and opinions begins to help us connect to what it means to be our own spiritual friend. To meet ourselves. And not the story of ourselves, but the actual experience of what it's like to be me in this body, in this moment, in this place. And when I can do that, what happens for me anyway, is that I get closer to being able to respond appropriately to what I find there. And in Zen, we often say that enlightenment is merely an appropriate response. So the closer I can get to what feels like an appropriate response, the closer I get to liberation. But I can't get there without doing the heavy lifting of looking inside. And healing those parts of myself. And dealing with those parts of myself. I become my own spiritual friend when I can pause and rest long enough and quiet myself enough that I can start to meet myself, make choices about my life rather than being dragged around by my life. And just like most things in Buddhism, when I start to develop that within myself, for myself, it becomes so much easier for me to then meet you in that place, to meet others, to be a spiritual friend to others. I develop compassion for myself so that I can have compassion for you. I meet my suffering so that when I meet you in your suffering doesn't scare me because I've already done my own stuff, right? W.S. Merwin has a really lovely poem. And Merwin is this really amazing poet who is also a Buddhist. Is anyone there? If so, are you real? Either way, are you one or several? If the latter, are you all at once or do you take turns not answering? Is your answer the question itself? Surviving without asking? Without end? Whose question is it? How does it begin? Where does it come from? How did it ever find out about you over the sound of itself with nothing but its own ignorance to go by? I'll read that again. Is anyone there? If so, are you real? Either way, are you one or several? If the latter, are you all at once, or do you take turns not answering? Is your answer the question itself, surviving the asking without end? Whose question is it? How does it begin? Where does it come from? How did it ever find out about you over the sound of itself, with nothing but its own ignorance to go by? You know, in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha says that we feel our feelings in our feelings, our body in our body, our consciousness in our consciousness. I don't know about you, but I didn't really understand what the hell that meant. But I think that the longer I practice, the more I start to see that it really means to just notice what the hell is going on? And what gives rise to what's going on? What causes what's going on to pass away? Ultimately, I think our meditation practice, whether it's movement meditations or seated still meditation, all of our meditations really invite us back to what's it like to be me. Can I have the experience I'm experiencing as I experience it? Underneath my stories and ideas and judgments that I so quickly am dragged around by. How do I not be afraid of myself? When so much of society and culture invites us to be afraid. And when I am afraid, how do I be afraid? When I'm angry, how do I be angry? When I'm disappointed, how do I be disappointed? How do I be my desires? All of those things. And I just notice and pay attention. And how does a monk who has admirable people as friends, companions, and comrades develop and pursue the Noble Eightfold Path? There is the case where a monk develops right view, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispossession, dispassion, dependent on cessation, resulting in relinquishment. He develops right resolve, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, dependent on seclusion, dependent on dispassion, dependent on cessation. We do that work of being an admirable friend and cultivating admirable friendships in seclusion. We do it in ourselves. So as you sit, what do you pay attention to? Where do you connect to it? And maybe it starts off with, can I learn my own stories and opinions and ideas? Can I start to notice the way that I am with myself? My teacher is super fond of asking the question, what is your practice ask of you? And I have started to think in terms of turning it back on him and saying, what does my practice tell me about myself? Because the answer is always the question. So I also believe in collective wisdom. I believe that we are all already enlightened. We all have what we need. And so I want to invite and include our collective wisdom.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.